We are at Our Savior in Port Huron. We hope you had a great week, and we hope we're going to start your week off with some very, very good news. Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed. Hallelujah. Good morning. This is Pastor Don at Our Savior Lutheran, Port Huron, Michigan. We are broadcasting live from the narthex of Our Savior in Port Huron on WPHM AM side 1380. If you catch us on a podcast later, probably Monday, it'll be posted on the website of WPHM.net. And there you'll be able to pick up this broadcast for several weeks. So invite yourself, your family, and your friends to know about this podcast that we've been doing 4 years and radio live for 82 years. So here we are. This Resurrection Sunday, we greet you as well. Scripture readings for this Easter too are certainly related to the resurrection account. Recall that Easter is not a day, but the 40 days the Lord walked upon this earth to what we call Ascension Thursday. 10 days later, the disciples experienced the baptism of the Holy Spirit's presence in their life. We call that in the church calendar, Pentecost. So we're into this period of time of Easter. The scripture readings speak to that reality. Let me also kind of give you an idea. As we're here broadcasting this day, we started to experience some electronic problems in the presentation of the music. We noticed some skipping on the church's equipment. We tried to clean it up over a dozen times yesterday, thought it was stable, but brought in a backup sound system, and that failed us this morning when we were counting on it to succeed. So we will go with what we can. We have cleaned the equipment 8 more times. And if there's skip, we're sorry for that. It's just an equipment. It's not a product. The music is perfect. So please enjoy the service and let your spirit join our spirit as we approach the throne of God. So radio broadcast this day is sponsored by the Born Traggers, Jim and as well as
Jane.
Talk about a mental glimpse there. You think I was in electronic equipment. So, sorry, Jane. Radio broadcast by you and your husband, Jim. We appreciate it. Next week, we have sponsors. Encourage those who are listening to us to sponsor. Contact the church office by phone, by email, or by letter. We would welcome your sponsorship for this hour of worship until we can all be gathered together into the house of the Lord. So we gather in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
So during the Easter season, as you probably, if you've worshiped with us the previous 2 weeks, we don't have a confession of sin, but rather we have a thanksgiving for baptism. Alleluia. Christ is risen.
Christ is risen indeed.
And joined to Christ in the waters of baptism. We are raised with Christ to a new life. Let us give thanks for the gift of baptism. We do give you thanks, O God, for in the beginning you created us in your image. You planted us in a well-watered garden. In the desert, you promised pools of water for the parched, and you gave us water from the rock. When we did not know the way, you sent the Good Shepherd to lead us to still waters. At the cross, you watered us from Jesus' wounded side. And on this day, you showered us again with the water of life. We praise you for your salvation through water. For the water in this font, for all the water everywhere, bathe us in your forgiveness, grace, and love. Satisfy the thirsty. Give us the life that only you can give. To you be given honor and praise. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, now and forever.
Amen. Amen.
We sing our entrance hymn for this day, or listen to it. Let your spirit sing. Blessed be the Lord God Almighty.
Father in heaven, how we love you. We love you. We lift your name in all the earth. May your kingdom be established in our praise.
In our praises.
As your people declare your mighty works. Blessed be the Lord God Almighty, who was and is and is to come. Blessed be the Lord God Almighty, who reigns forevermore.
Listening to the lyrics of that opening selection, if you heard the words, I can think of no better way to spend the day with my sisters and brothers and praising my God. And that's the way we approach our God this day in our worship here at our Savior. So the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
Hymn of praise for this day. You are my all in all.
I guess we're having a little problem. We will. We'll take care of some things. Give us a couple seconds here. You know that it's live when we have to move things around. But you have been most patient with us in the past when we've had glitches.
You know we're not.
So I think you'll understand how we're...
But we did have a backup system.
We did. We are tuning things up. There we go.
You are my strength when I am weak. You are the treasure that I seek. You are my all in all. Seeking you as a precious jewel. Lord, to give up, I'd be a fool. You are my all in all. Jesus, Lamb of God, worthy is your name.
with you, Lord, wherever you are. I know sometimes believers have a hard time in our worship to just do what is the letter A, adoration. That is just to adore God for God being God. Whether your mind floats through the universe of how great he is, God is, or whether you're thinking of the little blades of grass, wherever it is, how great God is, and adore God for just being God, not what he gave you, but for God's intrinsic nature and his love for us, God's people. Okay, we continue on with the greeting, the Lord be with you.
And also with you. Let us pray. O God, your Son makes himself known to all his disciples in the breaking of bread. Open the eyes of our faith that we may see him in his redeeming work, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Well, the first reading comes from Acts chapter 2, selected verses. Peter, standing with the 11, raised his voice and addressed the crowd. Let the entire house of Israel know with certainty that God has made him both Lord and Messiah, this Jesus whom you crucified. Now when they heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and to the other apostles, brothers, what should we do? Peter said to them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, so that your sins may be forgiven, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is for you and your children and all who are far away, everyone whom the Lord our God calls to him. And he testified with many other arguments and exhorted them, saying, save yourselves from this corrupt generation. So those who welcomed his message were baptized, and that day about 3,000 persons were added. Word of God, word of life.
Thanks be to God.
Our psalm is from 116, also selected verses. The antiphon is, I will call on the name of the Lord. I love the Lord who has heard my voice and listened to my supplication, for the Lord has given ear to me whenever I called. The cords of death entangled me. The anguish of the grave came upon me. I came to grief and sorrow.
And then I called upon the name of the Lord. O Lord, I pray you, save my life. And I will call on the name of the Lord.
How shall I repay the Lord for all the good things God has done for me? I will lift up the cup of salvation and call on the name of the Lord. I will fulfill my vows to the Lord in the presence of all God's people. Precious in your sight, O God, is the death of your servants. O Lord, truly, I am your servant. I am your servant, the child of your handmaid. You have freed me from my bonds.
I will offer you the sacrifice of thanksgiving and call upon the name of the Lord. I will call on the name of the Lord.
I will fulfill my vows to the Lord in the presence of all God's people.
In the course of the Lord's house, In the midst of you, O Jerusalem, I will call on the name of the Lord.
Our second lesson is from 1 Peter, the first chapter, selected verses. If you invoke as Father the one who judges all people impartially according to their deeds, live in reverent fear during the time of your exile. You know that you were ransomed from the futile ways inherited from your ancestors, not with perishable things like gold or silver, but with the precious blood of Christ, like that of a lamb without defect or blemish. He was destined before the foundation of the world, but was revealed at the end of the ages for your sake. Through him you have come to trust in God, who raised him from the dead and gave him glory, so that your faith and hope are set on God. Now that you have purified your souls by your obedience to the truth, so that you have genuine mutual love, love one another deeply from the heart, you have been born anew, not of perishable, but of imperishable seed, through the living and enduring word of God. Word of God, word of life.
Thanks be to God.
Before the gospel reading, I want to acknowledge every Sunday when we do a broadcast, we are constantly monitoring the broadcast that you are receiving by a receiver here in the office, in the church. And we noticed that during the psalm, the service was intermittent, coming to you, but it was going out fully from here. So somewhere in the transmission from church to station or station out, it got a little jarbled in and out. So we acknowledge that, so you don't have to call. The gospel reading of the day is from Luke, the 24th chapter, beginning with the 13th verse.
Praise to you, O Lord.
Now, on the same day when Jesus appeared to Mary Magdalene, two disciples were going to a village, it was called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem, talking with each other about the things that had happened there. While they were walking and discussing among themselves, Jesus himself came near, he went and joined their party. When their eyes were kept from recognizing that it was Jesus, and Jesus said to them, "What are you discussing with each other on your walk along the way?" They stood still, looking sad. Then one of them, whose name was Cleopas, answered this stranger, "Are you the only stranger in Jerusalem who doesn't know the things that have taken place in these days?" So Jesus asked them, "What things?" They replied, "The things about Jesus of Nazareth, who is the prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all people, and how our chief priests and the leaders handed him over to be condemned to death and crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one to redeem Israel." "Yes, and besides all this, it's now the third day since all these things took place. Moreover, some of the women of our group astounded us. They were at the tomb early this morning, and when they did not find his body there, they came back and told us that they had indeed seen a vision of angels who said that he was alive. Some of those who were with us went to the tomb, and they found it just as the women had said, but they did not see him. Then he said to them, 'Oh, how foolish you are, and how slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have declared. Was it not necessary that the Messiah should suffer many things and then enter into his glory?' And so, beginning with Moses and all the prophets, Jesus interpreted to them the things that said about him in all the scriptures. As they came near the village to which they were going, Jesus continued to walk ahead of them as if he was going to continue walking. They urged him strongly, saying, 'Stay with us, because it's almost evening and the day is nearly over.' And so Jesus went in to stay with them. When he was at the table with these two, he took bread, he blessed, and he broke it. He gave it to them. Their eyes were opened, and they recognized him, and he vanished from their sight. They said to each other, 'Were not our hearts burning within us when he was talking to us on the road, while he was opening to us the scriptures?' And to the same hour, they got up and returned to Jerusalem." Remember, that was 7 miles away. "And they found the 11 disciples and their companions gathered together. They were saying, 'The Lord has indeed been risen. He appeared to Simon,' they shared with these two. And then they told them what had happened on the road and how he had been made known to them in the breaking of bread. This is the gospel of our Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Dear friends, in Christ Jesus, God's grace, God's mercy, God's peace be with us this day. And let us never forget, Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed. Hallelujah.
Let me give you a little introduction to what we call the lectionary, the three readings of a given Sunday in the lectionary, liturgical churches. First reading, 97% of the time, is an Old Testament reading. Second reading is called an epistle. It comes from the letters of any of the New Testament writers who wrote letters to the church. Practical Christianity. The third one is always a gospel. Good news. It's out of Matthew, Mark, Luke, or John, okay? Got that in mind. You heard three lessons being read, but there was a deviation because the first reading was the book of Acts. It wasn't the Old Testament. This occurs only for the 7 weeks of the Easter season. Otherwise, the book of Acts doesn't get heard of Jesus' resurrection and how that empowered the early church. Now, there's another way to look at the lectionary, and that is chronology. Let me share with you the gospel lesson in today's readings. It's not always true, but it is this time. The gospel lesson, because it's the life of Jesus, is taking place as the first event of the three lessons, okay? Even though it's third position, first lesson, first event, episode. The second event was the day of Pentecost. We know that to be approximately 50 days after the resurrection, 10 days post-ascension, okay? So the first reading becomes the second position of chronology. Don't get confused. That leaves one lesson left, and that was the second reading that Cheryl read for us, 1 Peter. Approximately written probably around late 50s, early 60s AD, what's that, about 30 years after the resurrection? So understand, it was not historically the second event. The writing of this account was third. This is important to understand what I'm going to share with you from the Word this day. For those who tuned into Facebook, you know that once a week I've been trying to keep up to doing one video 10 to 15 minute segment, and I'll do it again this week, most likely to be posted on Facebook, our Savior page, by Tuesday. Okay. Last week, I used the Road to Emmaus painting, and that actual event that I just had read for you took place on Easter Day. Did you hear me? Easter Day, even though this is the second Sunday of Easter. A couple weeks ago, I asked you in a video segment that I did on Facebook, a lot of times, did you ever ask yourself, you know, sometimes we secularists, we say, what did you do for Easter, especially in a pandemic experience?
We were locked down, couldn't do anything, couldn't go out to a restaurant, couldn't get together with family.
What did Jesus do? He appeared to the women outside the grave as they were going on to the disciples to tell them he is alive, as instructed by the angels in the gospel. Then he appeared to the men on the road to Emmaus. That was in the afternoon. In the evening, the gospel of John says he appeared to the disciples behind locked doors and closed and secured windows for fear of the crowds. That's what Jesus' day looked like. An appearance at grave, appearance on the road to Emmaus, and a stopping there before he disappeared from them. And then back in the city of Jerusalem. Don't even try to speculate. How did he get around? The answer is he was in spirit body, spiritual body, different than his physical body. Now, understanding is that Jesus did continually make appearances as his disciples, and it's not continuous ones, but during those 40 days, he showed himself to them. So let's go into Emmaus. Two men walking, grieving. Can you touch a period in your life when you were grieving? If you're in a room with people, they talked around you, but you just couldn't hear them, or it just was hogwash. You were more in touch with your grief and your feelings and the loved one who has died. That sense of grieving can last for days or weeks. you're kind of in a cloud of fog, and you really don't know what's going on around you, and so do these two men. So it's not unusual that they should not recognize Jesus. They weren't looking for a new bud along the road on a trip to go to Emmaus. They were hurting. They were grieving. There was loss. Life seemed purposeless. The one that they had banked on, this Jesus of Nazareth, was obviously the wrong one. He's dead. We've seen his body taken down. So Jesus starts saying, okay, but what else happened in this whole surrounding? Well, there's rumors coming back that he's maybe even alive. So Jesus used this as a teaching opportunity. Little did they know, they had the master teacher to talk first person about the events of the Old Testament that preceded them by 2,000 years. You get that? Here is the living word speaking the spoken word to the followers of Jesus, not of the 12. Please note that. This is to another group. I think certainly one thing you have to acknowledge is God comes to us in common ways. Sometimes we expect a theophany to be grand and glorious and flashing lights and wheels and whistles and bells and no. Like a babe born in a stall comes the master of the universe, Jesus, babe born in Bethlehem. And so too does the risen Jesus, broken and bleeding on a cross, come to us on our journey in life as he did the men to Emmaus. They're walking along. He's doing teaching, and I'm sure they didn't have a scrapbook or a computer or a recorder to record the message. They were touched. They didn't even tell him at the time, oh, what you're saying is so resonating with my spirit. You're causing all this doubt to be pushed out and a sense of faith to resume its position in our hearts and our lives. They invite this stranger. I always like to use that word, it's scripture. There's nobody that they'd never recognized. They invited this Jesus to stay with them. He hesitates, but he says, okay, sure, I'll stay with you guys. We can continue the discourse. I'll continue talking with you. And he does. Then the atmosphere becomes the holy other. Theologians over the centuries have called the full encounter of God is when you stand in adoration and you realize this being in front of you is not of this world. This far exceeds anything that we would ever expect or ever deserve. He is the holy other, is the expression, and most appropriate in theology. And notice where it occurred. It was in the breaking of the bread. Simple elements at a dinner table. Most likely not like the loaf of bread we know. Usually it was usually flattened and quick and be put into a stone oven, or they didn't have grocery stores, cellophane or wax paper or plastic. Air dried made it more difficult to chew in the ancient world, as in some cultures even to this day. Takes the bread. Please note, gotta understand this, that approximately 9 days before this, the disciples sat in the upper room, and these two were not invited or at least recorded as having been there. But I'm sure whatever took place in those 2 days following that, the disciples, the 11 survivors since Judas took his life, had a chance to tell with them that he told us that this night he was going to die. And he gave us this sign, and he told us this is his body, this is his blood. You got to eat it, and you got to drink it. And through it and his giving, you will have life eternal. And so the story spread to the second circle of leaders and followers of Jesus Christ, these two men of Emmaus. They heard the word spread to them. And so in the breaking of the bread, in this trio meeting, comes the revelation of who Jesus was. And then he vaporized, he disappeared. Now, were they scared? No. They reflected on this moment and said, wow, this was him. He was the one who talked to us on this road. He was the one who was interpreting to us the traditions of the fathers. He's the one who told us what the rabbis and the synagogues were trying to teach us. And now he is in this room. He is present for us. It's in that moment when you and I encounter God here that we can go back, and they leave and they go back to share the good news. It's not something to be kept, like Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount. A candle does not deserve to be under a bushel basket. It is to be revealed. It's got to be set up on a hill where the city around it can see it. They will come to rejoice and be glad in it. So these two, we're not going to show that they were greater than the other 11, but they too had experienced what the women did. They still don't know that the other disciples had seen them. So they come into that room. And now comes our dimension, the horizontal dimension, people to people, person to person. The disciples had precedence. They spoke first. Jesus appeared to Peter, you two. Then they took their turn. But he also appeared to us also. Wow. The next occurrence we're told is the following week, so that makes it 7 days after this day, Resurrection Day, time machine way. And so that will be where Thomas will be, and that was the lesson last week, which was the Sunday after Resurrection Sunday. So it all fits together, really, the chronology. It's just that we can't put all Sundays together in any package in the lectionary, but my explanation should help you sort it out. We recognize in the preceding lessons, as I said, this is the first event. This is the actual event. Then you go to the book of Acts account. Peter, day of Pentecost, day 50 after this day. So what's that, 43 days later? He appears to them. And in so doing, Peter on the day of Pentecost received the Holy Spirit. He started to preach wonderful sermons. Things that he was stumbling over on the Good Friday and denial of Jesus in the morning's hours, he now was confessing very clearly, declaring forthrightly, this Jesus, whom Israel has crucified in this city, Jerusalem, this week, in the last short history, was the Messiah. He was the Lord, Adonai. Now, that's not something you give away, that title. That's why Jesus was crucified, that he dared to confess himself as Lord of this world. So when Peter declares that, he's calling him God. Messiah, Old Testament phrase, which means to one who is anointed, set apart. We experience it in the Old Testament as the king of the country of Israel. Second Psalm talks about the king's inauguration, coronation. You are my son. Well, Jesus was born. The Son of God. This Jesus, whom you crucified, Peter speaks to. The crowd, I don't know if you've ever felt moved by a sermon of a pastor or someone, say, what am I going to do? If that's true, what you're telling us, what do we do? Simple solution, Peter says. You can't do anything. Just give your life over to God. Change the course of your direction. That's what metanoma, the Greek word, means, repent. And be baptized, baptizo is the Greek word, every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ, so that your sins will be taken from you, forgiven. And then you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Contrary to what many Pentecostals will tell you, there's a formula you have to follow to get the gift of the Holy Spirit. I'm here to tell you by the word of God, it's not a formula. It's a process. By faith and water, we get the gift of the Holy Spirit and holy baptism. For the promise is for you and for your children, Peter goes on to say, for you who are far away, everyone whom the Lord God has called to himself, save yourselves from this corrupt generation. I don't know if you feel how crazy this world is becoming. I hate to use the word becoming. We always were. It's just more visible. We're hearing the good stories, and we try to raise them up to silence the bad stories of what humanity can do to humanity. But the recognition is the original sin still prevails. We are selfish, self-centered, and without Christ, we die not only physically, but spiritually as well. In this crazy world, Christ is the answer. He's not the question, he is the resolution. Third reading of this lectionary is from 1 Peter. Again, the dating of this is late 50s, early 60s. In the course of that, Peter has a chance to reflect now some virtually a lifespan later. Now you understand the oral tradition was present before the written one came about. So after the 30s AD would be the oral transmission of the message until it's physically recorded and archaeologically discovered. It's at that time that we begin to understand the church and the disciples had a chance to reflect, unlike the first ones on the day of resurrection, about what does this mean? The good Luther question with the catechism, what does this mean? So if you invoke God as Father who judges over all people impartially, you gotta hear that, impartially. He doesn't look to bless the rich over the poor. Live in reverent fear. Reverent fear. In other words, don't ever take your relationship with God during this time of your exile. Exile is you're removed from heaven where we will go, as he will later write, to our heavenly destination. You know you were ransomed from these futile world ways inherited from your ancestors, not with the perishable things like you know in this life, silver and gold, which most people, if you've seen that commercial constantly, during the bad financial conditions, how the stock market's failing you and all that, you gotta buy gold, you gotta buy silver. Well, it's not gonna buy you salvation. Get over it. But with the precious blood of Christ, like that of a lamb, without defect or blemish. He was destined before the foundation of the world and revealed at the end of the ages for your sake. You've come to trust in him. He was raised from the dead for our glory and for your faith. Understand then, we the church go through the experience of the resurrection appearances, the reflection and the giving of the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost, and then continuing to analyze and what does this mean for daily life? Then you come to where Peter is. We have been born anew for a living hope in Jesus Christ. May he who has been raised from the dead reveal himself to his followers. Continue to reveal himself to us in Christ Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
Our hymn of the day, he leadeth me, just as he did the men on the road to Emmaus. He leadeth me.
He leadeth me, oh blessed thought, oh words with heavenly comfort fraught. Whate'er I do, where'er I be, still 'tis God's hand that leadeth me. He leadeth me. Oh, he leadeth me, he leadeth me.
while that hymn was being played and joining in worshiping with that hymn, I'm thinking, thank you, Lord, no skip on the tape, no skip. Yes, Lord, you are good, and never forget it, people. We affirm together our faith in the name of the one who revealed himself as the risen God in Jesus Christ. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary,
suffered under Pontius Pilate,
was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead, and on the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven, and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Our worship continues with prayers, and Hope, as assisting minister, shares the prayers.
Uplifted by the promised hope of healing and resurrection, we join the people of God in all times and places in praying for the church, the world, and all who are in need. For those whose hearts are fervent with love for your gospel, that they are empowered to tell the story of your love in their lives and to show hospitality in response to this love. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
For the diverse natural world, for jungles, prairies, forests, valleys, mountains, and for all the wild and endangered animals who call these spaces home, that they are nurtured and protected. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
For broken systems we have inherited and that we continue to perpetrate, forgive us. Restrain the nations from fighting over limited resources. Redeem us from the cycles of scarcity and violence. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
For all who call upon your healing name, give rest, stay with us, and walk with all those who are hungry, friendless, despairing, and disturbing healing in body and spirit, especially Jeff Parker's mother, Lois, who is in the hospital. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
For the faith-forming ministries of this church, for those preparing for baptism, First Communion, confirmation, and membership, for those who participate in Sunday school and adult education, guide and inspire learners of every age and ability. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
Eternal God, amid the turmoil and changes of the world, your love is steadfast and your strength never fails. In this time of danger and trouble, be to us a sure guardian and rock of defense. Guide the leaders of our nation with your wisdom. Comfort those in distress and grant us courage and hope to face the future through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord.
Amen.
Merciful God, your healing power is everywhere about us. Strengthen those who work among the sick. Give them courage and confidence in all they do. Encourage them when their efforts seem futile or when console them when anxious, comfort them in grief and hearten them in discouragement. Be with us all and give us peace at all times in every way through Christ our Lord.
Amen.
Creating our hearts a yearning to rest in your promise of eternal and resurrected life. Give us thankful hearts for those who have died, even as we look forward to the new hope of new life with you. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
So with bold confidence in your love, Almighty God, we place all for whom we pray into your eternal care through Christ our Lord.
Amen. Amen.
We continue in our prayers as our Lord Jesus taught us.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever.
Amen.
This time in the service would be a time in which we respond with our gifts of gratitude and gifts for serving the people God has asked us to care for, like Peter wrote about in the epistle. Treat them with genuine love, all people. So likewise, we encourage you to continue or begin if you have not done. Send your support to the ministry of our Savior. I know when challenged a couple of weeks ago, somebody said, but do you need the money if you're closed? The answer is, oh, there is no close to God's work. There are things we have to do to be present whenever this world opens up again, and we can rejoin as the people of God who just can't arrive. You've got to support it through that time. So please continue support. You can do so, as people are learning, by talking to your bank and making arrangements to do a check or electronic transfer to our Savior Lutheran. You can also do it by snail mail, sending it to the church, or placing it, or calling me to receive it here at the church's door. When you are convenient, and I can be here for you to make that connection. But trust it, the mail what comes in daily, I bring it in, and it gets to Doug and it gets to Marcia appropriately. So, the other thing I do want to announce too during this time is we have the first Sunday of May for the radio broadcast scheduled by Tony Gaines and Judy Avers. But the remaining weeks of May are still needing to be scheduled. So please contact the church office by email, by phone, and messenger on the phone, or by calling me directly at my home or my cell phone. We are always within your reach. Don't, you know, forget that. We are here. Many other things are going on. I do want to continue to raise up the recovery community. 2 days ago, I was talking with Patrick, who serves with the Blue Water Area Recovery and Outreach Center, based at Our Savior for these last eight months. He shared with me the previous week has been a tough week. No names, nothing like that, but he said that in the last 7 days, 4 people have taken their lives or have overdosed. You understand that you and I, our problems, is not more severe than somebody else's. They are dealing with things that you and I may never have experienced in our life, of utter withdrawal, utter demise, utter failure, whatever, and sadness and grief. Please understand, ministry must still go on to a world that cries for God to touch them in a meaningful way. So we continue to support them, encourage you to go to Blue Water Recovery and Outreach Center, BW Rock, their website, and you'll learn more and testimonies of those who have continued in recovery and beating the battle. There is success, and recovery is possible. So with that in mind, we have the offertory prayer.
Merciful God, our ordinary gifts seem small for such a celebration, but you make of them an abundance, just as you do with our lives. Feed us again at this table for service in your name, in the strength of the risen Christ.
Amen. Amen. As is our custom, we have an offertory hymn, and it is Change My Heart, O God. During its playing, you're going to hear Cheryl share with us the words, kind of mingles them so neatly together.
Make it ever true. Change my heart, O God. May I be like you.
Than just when we sing them, but it's nice to have them spoken to us as the music accompanies it. Beautiful, awesome hymn, but also prayer, and I hope it was your prayer.
May the one who brought forth Jesus from the dead raise you to a new life, fill you with hope, and turn your mourning into dancing. Almighty God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, bless you now and forever.
Amen. Amen.
Sorry, Don.
That's okay. I'll do to the dismissal. See how we can flip-flop? We're totally spontaneous. Closing hymn this time, most appropriate. Precious Lord, take my hand. Oh, okay. Christ is risen.
He
just
is.
As he said. Go in peace. Share the good news. Hallelujah.
Thanks be to God.